Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder where God is when we have such lousy candidates for president. Well, my friend, I tend to agree. We have not exactly been left with the best picks of the litter, have we? Now, I will say this. Critical as I have been of Donald Trump, and I have been very critical of him on this program, I am heartened by some of the people he seems to be surrounding himself with. Because if he wins the election, and if he takes their counsel, maybe things won't turn out so bad after all. From Ben Carson to Newt Gingrich to Henry Kissinger, the associations are at their premium. Of course, those are only the big names, the well-known names. As far as quality goes, who could offer better counsel than your old pal Bob? And so, Mr. Trump, if you happen to be listening, let me give you the best advice you're going to hear during this 2016 election cycle. As Hillary wages her so-called counterattack to the fabricated war on women that Republicans are always accused of, no matter who is running, thinking she has special ammunition with you, in as much as the New York Times just released that earth-shattering hit piece filled with the revelation that Donald Trump used to date and interact with a lot of women. And as you skillfully respond by reminding her of her husband's confirmed affairs and accusations of rape by the likes of Juanita Broderick, well, Mr. Trump, so far, you are doing what most other Republican candidates seldom, if ever, do: fight back. My first piece of advice is this: don't back down. Ignore the pundits who tell you to tone down the rhetoric. These same pundits predicted that you wouldn't last more than a month or two in the primaries. However, you will soon discover that fighting the Clintons is not going to be the cakewalk like fighting Jeb or Marco. The Clintons know the art of personal destruction like a well-oiled machine. They are the true masters, and no matter how hard you fight back, no matter how many women come forth to say that the New York Times misquoted them, no matter how often your wife and son and daughter and employees and former Miss Universe contestants come forward to defend you, as many of them have, Bill and Hillary will continue to portray you as a sexist misogynist. So here is my advice. The next time Hillary calls you anti-woman, just tell Hillary that in your heart of hearts, you feel that you are a woman. With the latest interference by the Obama administration about public schools accommodating transgenders, and with Hillary buying every new piece of political correctness, whatever way the wind is blowing, she won't be able to say a word. Not one word. Well, okay, maybe one word. She might suggest you're only making it up. She might point out that a man who thinks he's a woman would not go and marry a beautiful bride like Melania, at which time, Mr. Trump, you return with your zinger. Mrs. Clinton, when I say I'm a woman inside, I mean that I'm a lesbian woman inside. So, of course, I was attracted to Melania. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious. But this week's rotating co-host also likes to make the obvious obvious. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. I look forward to being on the show every time, and that was a brilliant piece.
I look forward to having you come on and tell the audience how brilliant you think I am. So.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do it, and it might as well be me.
Might as well. Yeah. If you can't trust your friends to stand by you.
Now, while we're on the subject, and I have something troubling me, and I know you love pop culture as I do, and you watch more movies than I do, probably.
Maybe, and, maybe not, but we'll see.
Well, you do movie reviews, and I know you pay attention to Hollywood. Here's what's troubling me. My wife and I have watched the Hunger Games saga.
Oh, I love the Hunger Games.
I love those.
And talk about a brilliant piece. Yeah.
And the heroine is a teenage girl or young lady, and she saves the world. And then we watched the Divergent series.
I only saw the first in that series, and I did like it, but for some reason I missed the other two. Yeah.
Well, it's not as great as Hunger Games, but I really liked it.
It seemed like a Hunger Games wannabe series, kind of.
Well, yeah, it was. But again, it's a teenage girl who saves the world. And then very recently, we watched The Fifth Wave, a fantasy sci-fi kind of thing. And once again, it's a high school teenage girl who saves the world. Here's my problem, Bob. With all of this gender neutralization, who's going to save the world if the little girls don't know they're girls? And there's no difference between girls and boys. There isn't anybody to save us from the dystopian future.
Yeah, and with Hillary putting her finger out to the wind, how's Hillary going to convince everybody that in her heart of hearts she thinks she's the teenage girl?
Oh, man.
You can't make this stuff up. I've said this many times on the radio, but I guess I have to say it again. You've read The Onion, the satire news magazine. Why are those guys still in business? They can't make up stuff any faster than the real stuff that's coming out.
Well, the real stuff's better and funnier and more bizarre.
Except it's scarier because it's really happening, and we really have a president in the United States that implements this stuff through executive orders or his Justice Department, in quotes, Justice Department.
Yeah, and I want to jump on some of that stuff tonight. I would love to discuss with you lawmaking, law enforcing, lack of law, lawlessness. And just some of the crazy stuff, potty politics. This thing's got me going crazy, about which bathroom a person can use depending upon what mood they're in.
Oh, and I read something on Facebook about a week ago. It showed a picture of John F. Kennedy next to Barack Obama. And the quotation next to Kennedy was, "I will put a man on the moon." Uh-huh. And the quotation next to Obama was, "I will put a man in the woman's restroom."
Yeah.
That just about said it all. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, a long way down, I'd say. So I'm just concerned about all this. I'm greatly concerned. I don't think the whole potty politics thing ultimately is going to produce a whole lot of incidents. I think people are going to be on their guard and everything. What the deeper concern for me is that we have a president who thinks that he can legislate because of his opinion or whatever he wants and just say, this is the law, and if you defy me, I will withhold federal funding from your schools. That's basically the threat that he made, isn't it?
Yes, and then he'll go on TV and say it's those mean and nasty Republicans that are withholding the funds, and that's why your kid isn't getting a hot lunch. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans will offer to fund everything Obama's doing except this one thing. He stands by that one thing. And then with the media acting like his water boys and cheerleading squad, the whole thing gets turned around on the Republicans. The Republicans have shut down the government. Republicans have done this and that. But the Republicans aren't guilty either because they're so spineless that they usually cave in. I'm so surprised they haven't caved in on this Supreme Court justice thing yet. And I still wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Yeah, and back to your opening things about Mr. Trump, he doesn't cave in. And I think that's what's been shocking people, that not only does he not cave in, but he'll say, yeah, you're right. I do believe this, or I did say that. And then people like him even more.
He speaks without a filter, and he's a double-edged sword because it's refreshing that he's not politically correct, and it's refreshing that he's not scripted. And I don't mind if he says something and then comes back the next day and says, I've thought about it. And I've changed my position. I only mind when he comes back and he says, well, this is what I meant. Then he does start sounding like a politician.
Yeah, and that's what they do. But and you mentioned there's a long list of people that are coming out and supporting him. And I suspect that for many of them, it's not as much as that they're supporting him as that they are so afraid of Hillary getting elected that they have to support him now because there isn't anybody else.
Well, that's not a bad place to start. That's enough of a bottom line for me. However, I must say, when you look at that list of potential Supreme Court justices, the guy's a lot sharper than people are giving him credit for. Here's what I think with Trump. I kind of gave my satire advice. If I was to give him real advice, like he even would know who I was or listen to me for even 2 seconds, dream on. But if I was, I would hope that once he becomes president, he takes a lot of advice. But for the rest of the campaign, Jim, I hope he doesn't listen to anybody because he knows how to win. And although I didn't like the rhetoric when he was taking out Marco and Jeb Bush, and he was saying inappropriate things. I mentioned, I don't know if you heard last week's show, but it was actually 2 weeks ago. We actually took a break from Trump last week. So leapfrogging back 2 weeks ago, you know, when I was talking about insults are inappropriate if they're not true, and they're inappropriate if they're unnecessary. So I hated the way he insulted his fellow Republicans. I really did. And I understand he's the first to admit now that, oh, you know, I just wanted to win. You can't take that seriously. Here's the thing, though. With Hillary, he wouldn't have to make up anything. All he'd have to do is speak the truth. But the Republicans would not have even spoken the truth about her. They didn't do it with Obama. And so Democrats have no problem lying about Republicans. Republicans won't even speak the truth about Democrats. And so that's what I like about Trump. But if I hope he's as insulting as he can be with Hillary, because she deserves a lot of insults. If we're defining an insult as an accurate assessment of the abysmal job she did as Secretary of State, then I wouldn't have a problem with that kind of insult.
And I agree with you. One of the things that has just mystified me in the last few elections is the lack of ability for any of the Republican candidates to just come out and say the stuff that we all know or that we all suspect. And they've just been, like you said, spineless, it seems. And for whatever reason, I don't know what's intimidated people, but he's not apparently intimidated by any of them. So
It's very refreshing, and there's a lot of people that are following him like groupies and are going to defend everything he says. You and I will not, but we at least know he's a better alternative to Hillary. I mean, there's nothing to even think about.
You know, when I was 18, was the first time I voted, and a man who's right there in San Diego kind of mentored me. He was a kind of a father figure to me, and as we're looking at those things, and I was learning about politics, and he said, sometimes you have to choose between the lesser of two liberals.
I don't think I would call Trump a liberal. I don't think I'd call him a conservative. I think I'd just call him a populist. But if he happens to surround himself by enough conservatives when he gets into office, we might have something. Jim, my friend, hold with me over the break.
Now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, and approximately once a month I am joined with my very good friend, Jim Barrier, calling all the way from San Antonio, Texas. Jim, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Bob. I'd like to go a little further on this thing because I've been intrigued by your recent shows and the things that are current and relevant. This is what I want to jump into. In Romans 13, the Apostle Paul tells us that we should obey the civil authorities and the law of the land.
He does, but then there are other places in Scripture where we have examples of the apostles and prophets not obeying the law of the land.
So there's don't get ahead of me now.
Well, I got to get a little ahead of you, otherwise people go, what a dummy Siegel is, and Barrier set him straight. So I got to let them know that... I'm anticipating a little bit. Just a little bit anticipatory. Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. And then in his first letter to Timothy, he says we should pray for the king. Now, as you know, the king in that era was the Caesar who was killing Christians.
Yeah. And in this era, the king is King Obama.
Yeah.
And he seems to think he's king. He doesn't seem to think we're living in a republic anymore.
Well, he isn't killing Christians yet.
Not yet, but he kisses the butts of people that kill Christians all over the world.
Yeah. He seems to cozy up with them. So, but my point in this is that our instruction as believers is that we're to obey the laws of the land, and we're to pray for the ruler, even if we know that ruler is anti-Christian or evil or anything. So that's the first problem I have growing up in the 60s and just being trained to be anti-establishment. I think I told you this one time. I was a young teenager and impressionable, and somebody said, you should question authority. And I said, who are you to tell me who to question? But we have this thing that somehow in there in the mix, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land and pray for the king. But then in Acts... when the disciples are told blatantly to disregard the mandate God had given them to preach the gospel and teach in the name of Jesus, and they said, you decide whether we should obey God or man. So where do we ride this pendulum of being obedient, being loyal, being faithful and praying for the leaders, but then at what point do we have the freedom to say, now they're making laws that are in conflict with what I've been commanded by God himself. And this is, I think this is a real problem for some people, that finding the middle ground and they're finding the balance.
Well, it is. And I think if we're talking about the evangelical church now, I think the liberal church went haywire over a century ago. But within the evangelical church, they'd immediately give the answer, well, if they tell us we can't preach the gospel, then obviously we've got to take a stand then. But these same people will, not all of them, but I'm starting to hear some people say, well, we'll go ahead and we'll perform gay marriages in our church, or we'll stop speaking against it because it's the law of the land. I'm saying, I'm sorry, the law of the land is our constitution. The law of the land is not what some justices decided our constitution means. And many people on the other side, back when the law of the land in the books really was a marriage between a husband and a wife, they were saying, well, that's wrong. We've got to protest that. Mayor Newsom in San Francisco, he didn't care what the law of the land was. He gave out marriage licenses, regardless of what the California laws. So why does the left have more passion than their convictions than we do? I think what evangelical Christians need to understand is it's related to the gospel. If the frog is being boiled slowly, incrementally, they're taking away one right at a time. You know, Jim, I don't really care if they say Merry Christmas at Macy's. I'd rather they did. but it doesn't upset my freedom if they don't. I don't really care if I see a cross on a hill or I don't. But when people want to take the cross down from the hill and make it against the law for Macy's to say Merry Christmas, I know that's just the beginning. I've hobnobbed with enough atheists to know that they believe Christianity is responsible for most of the evils in the world.
Right.
So they may talk about the Constitution, but don't you think these same people, if they got a chance to change our Constitution, would just outlaw Christianity? And with the Supreme Court, they don't even have to change the Constitution or have a constitutional convention. They don't have to win through a democracy, through a ballot measure, through the majority. All they have to do is get the next Chief Justice appointed.
Yeah, that's right. And you have five votes to four.
And that's it.
And that's the end of it. And that's where I find myself in conflict. Now, I'll give you an example, because now we're improvising. As you know, I'm a pastor, and I do a lot of weddings. I've performed hundreds and hundreds of wedding ceremonies. And thank goodness our governor, our new governor, Greg Abbott, passed a law, signed a law, and it was approved. And in the state of Texas, I cannot be prosecuted or charged or sued if I refuse to perform a wedding based on my religious convictions. Now, that's radical, but Texas tends to be a bit more conservative than, say, California.
But you know what? California passed Proposition 8 by a landslide. And many people who traditionally vote Democratic, many Latinos and African Americans who voted for Obama in 2008, also voted for Proposition 8. So the problem is, when the will of the states like Texas or California are being overturned, sooner or later, that's why we look at this election and people say, I don't like this about Trump. I don't like that about Trump. Trump's no different than Hillary. Trump's done liberal things too. Who knows what he can do? My response, my common refrain is the problem is the courts, because I love the law they just passed in Texas, and good for them, and I'm happy for you. But we've passed laws like that in California, and right now they don't make a hill of beans a difference. It's going to and it shouldn't depend on the courts, because our Constitution never really gave the courts that much power. But at the moment, our brainwashed, idiotic country think that it is up to the courts. So we may as well hope that we put in a president who will put in some correct justice. And frankly, just because Trump released a list of 20-30 people that are conservative, does that mean I automatically trust him to follow through? No, I don't. But I know the kind of justices Hillary will put in.
Yeah,
so
that's,
again, it's the path that leads to where we don't want it to go, or the roll of the dice.
Yeah. And I agree with you completely. And I mentioned this on the show before, but I heard Francis Schaeffer once say that the most important thing about the presidential election is Supreme Court appointments. And that was 40 years ago when I heard him say that, and it was so prophetic. But that is the problem there. But I find myself on a daily basis, on a practical level, how I live my life and I perform my ministry. There are threats out there all of the time, and that was only one of them. Now, I don't know if I've told you this, but for 5 years, I taught classes for the state of Texas. I was certified by the state of Texas, and I taught premarriage classes for people that were ordained by the state of Texas.
Yes, you did mention that on one of our programs.
Yeah,
and then it became more precarious with the new laws.
Yeah. And I quit doing those because I started getting calls from couples saying, can same-sex couples attend the classes? And the answer is yes, but I'm not going to teach them.
Yeah, I hear you, my friend. Okay, hang with me. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, License number 480-539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a new book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel, joined today by co-host and good friend Jim Barrier.
Was that a little Chicago we heard there?
That was a little Chicago, and Nick and I were placing our bets. We had no doubt that you would get that one, but I made a prediction that you might not get the one before that. Did you recognize the one that played bringing you into the last break? That was another six. They were a contemporary. I'll give you a hint. They were a contemporary of Chicago, and I know you know the group. But I'm not sure this song was one of their top 10.
I don't remember now. I don't even recall what song it was, but I probably didn't recognize it. Who did you play?
We played the Grassroots.
Oh, the Grassroots.
Frankly, we always play the Grassroots. We play the Grassroots and then switch to Exodus at the beginning of every one of my program.
But was it the Ferrani and Teicher version of Exodus, theme from Exodus?
You mean the Exodus at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, you were playing I thought I heard that.
Oh, well, we play Exodus a lot. Yeah, you heard, Exodus is always the opening music. With the Grassroots plays when the announcers are talking, and then we get into Exodus. But we also played another portion of Exodus as outgoing music this week, which we don't always do. So that's what you were referring to, yes. And then we play it again.
Thanks for putting up with us. We love to talk music trivia and movie trivia. And it's part of the joy of doing this show for me. So now, by the way, and there was a promo there about Push the Winds Around, which I have read. Is there a sequel coming, Bob?
The sequel to Push the Winds Around is called Choice of the Lorelei, and it's scheduled to come out in October. The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle of the Glass. That's scheduled to come out in about a month, and I got a look at the cover this week. It's been completed for a long time, but every time I read it over before I send it in, I find something I want to change, not in the story, but something in the style. So the sequels to both my novels are scheduled to come out this year. So I've been pretty busy.
Fantastic. Are there any talking cats?
Caligula the Talking Cat from the Winds Around, but from The Dangerous Christmas. How could I not put him in? He was the favorite character of everybody. But
absolutely.
But the sequel, it's deeper and darker. They're in high school, and the kids and the cat go into the world that the ornament comes from. So it starts out reminding you a lot of the first book, and then in no time at all, it goes directions that they never went in the first book. So.
Is there anything in there about a dog, whether he has the freedom to use a cat's box if he thinks he's a cat?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That was the dates for these. Dangerous Christmas Ornament was in the year 1999. Then we go to the year 2003 for the next one. So yeah. I have to keep the vernacular and the politics within those years. I'm telling you, sooner or later, you just can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And it's craziness. Now,
In fact, Jim, I think that you're in San Diego and your name is Bob Siegel. And I believe with all my heart that I'm sitting on the phone in San Antonio, Texas right now. And I'm the one pastoring that church.
You know,
I believe that in my heart. So who are you to judge me and say I'm wrong?
Well, I watched a lot of Rod Serling when I grew up, too. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, yeah, this would not only put the onion out of its business, it would put Rod Serling out of a job, too.
You know, and I grew up on that stuff, and before that it was Mad Magazine. So that's part of the excuse for why I think so strangely. I blame it on those people.
Bill Wilder, formerly a man's bathroom. Instead, he steps into the Twilight Zone.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. It is nuts. I'll tell you, it's nuts. So here's some of the stuff that bothers me. We're talking about obeying the laws, and then if the laws are ungodly laws, and then what do we do with all of that? But this is what I've come to observe. We are a most lawless society as far as how people live. I'm sure in California you experience trying to drive the speed limit and people flying by you because they don't have to keep the rules at that point. Or uninsured motorists, by law you're supposed to have insurance to drive a car, but people drive all the time without insurance. People they fudge on their tax returns and they justify it and say, well, I don't have to really keep it strictly. People using drugs that are not legal, which now most of them are, but on and on and on, things I hear in the church. You know, there is so much stuff. The conservatives and evangelicals love to harp on the same-sex marriage, and that we've made that a hot button. If you went around to almost any church in America and could get an honest answer in a survey, you would find out that single church-going believers are sleeping together.
Well, not only that, but in the realm of sex more broadly, the few times you ever see an excommunication from a church or some discipline, not for sin, because we're all sinners, but for unrenounced, unrepentant sin. It's only over something sexual. And all the people that gossip about it for a year afterwards, they should be kicked out too. But if we did, we'd only have 1/3 to 1/4 of the people in our churches left.
Well, and I've always talked about that. You know, legalism is always selective. And we pick things that we're not guilty of and point it out in other people's lives.
Yeah, but it's legalistic when the other guy's doing it. It's spirituality and obeying the Holy Spirit when we're doing it. That's the way it gets justified.
Yeah. But there seems to be an attitude that people do whatever they want. They pick and choose. And I've heard people say this, well, I don't agree with that law, so I don't have to obey that law because I don't think that law is correct. And that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And I think on a societal level, it's kind of how people live. They just decide which rules they want to keep. Here's, you're driving down a freeway or a boulevard. And let's say this, we have one I just went on today. The speed limit's 45. Well, that means everybody's going 55.
Exactly. Well, not only that, but I've been to traffic school for not always going the speed limit.
Okay.
And they'll tell you at traffic school that the cops won't even ticket you for going 10 miles over. They wait till you go about 15 over anyway.
But if they see a patrol car, everybody slows down.
Oh, absolutely. So there's a big inconsistency.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m.
and 10:30 a.m.
It says in the Bible that Christians are to obey the law, but it also gives many examples in the Bible, from the Acts of the Apostles to Daniel going to the lion's den, of times where God's people refused. I'm here with my good friend Jim Barrier, who's honest with the struggle that we should all be honest about. And Jim, what I think I hear you asking is, what is a hill to die for? I think we're both agreeing that the government might have a stupid law, like the speed limit. I've gone over the speed limit, but it's wrong. I would never go into court and say, I may think that at times 55, or it is 65 now in California, I might think that that was a little too low. I might think it was a dumb law, but that's not a hill to die for. So the question is, what would be our hills to die for? There are certain things we should take a stand on as Christians. And I think the problem is our freedoms are being encroached upon so slowly and incrementally. What liberal, I mean, what liberal even would have put up with this gender in the bathroom stuff even 5 years ago, even 3 years ago? But because a step at a time, we've gone from same-sex marriage to other things, it's gotten to the point where nothing people do comes as a surprise anymore.
Yeah, you wonder how far can it go? And that's, you know, I shake my head routinely thinking, I can't believe that we're even talking about these things, that these are even on the table. There were things that before I was ever a believer, which, by the way, I became a believer because of the influence of Skyline Church. That was the first church I ever attended, and we mentioned them at the break. And then you also came back with music from Phantom of the Opera.
I'm just very good. You're doing good on Bing Bing. What does he win, Don Pardo?
I get to come back next week.
That's
or next
right.
month.
You
okay.
You got it.
Yeah, there are certainly things that we have to draw the line. Now here's the rub, and I'm not sure how many professing evangelicals and the people that wear bumper stickers and fish on their cars and all of that and love the contemporary praise and worship CDs and everything. If it's a matter of saying I'm going to be charged with the crime and punished with the crime if I take a stand and refuse to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idols or whoever it is, or the book of Acts and the apostles refusing to give in to being forbidden to preach and teach in the name of Jesus, at some point we have the real potential now in this country that you might suffer consequences if you live by your convictions. And I wonder how many people will bail out. Now, you have probably read some of the books I've read. I've read, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom, and I've read books by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Watchman Nee, Brother Andrew, Richard Warmbrand. And these were people who had to live it, and in some cases were imprisoned or tortured or persecuted for not giving in on their convictions.
Yeah, and my understanding with Corrie Ten Boom was that she had a pastor when the Nazis came and took over Holland and said, well, he was quoting from Romans 13, that we should obey the law.
Yeah.
And she was saying, but pastor, not laws that tell us to turn over our friends who are innocent to be murdered. Those are not the kinds of laws that they were talking about when Paul said obey the law.
Exactly where I'm going with this. And I would like to issue a warning that we're not there yet, but kids, be alert, because we never thought it could happen in this country. But I'm saying every election, every Supreme Court appointment, every 4 years, every 2 years, every 6 months, we get a little further down that slippery slope. And the thing you mentioned about the frog in the water, and the water gets hotter and hotter. We're I'm watching it in my lifetime, and there are things that I started to say before I was ever a believer. There were things that I just knew were right and wrong. I knew it in my heart of hearts, and I had no religious training. And now I hear Christians talking, and they don't even understand that these things are right or wrong. So something has happened. We've been hypnotized. there's been a seduction of our minds, and I'm greatly concerned about that.
I was asked a number of years ago to speak at a church. It was a mainline Presbyterian church, and I'm not saying all Presbyterian churches are like this, but this was PCUSA, which is, at that time, a lot of their churches were liberal, a lot of them were conservative, but they were kind of going the liberal way. And I was asked to go in and just speak about what, we gathered the parents together, and I was speaking about what they can expect their students who were now seniors in high school to hear when they got to college. They asked me to bring my book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, which answers questions. On the back of the book, it gives an example of questions that are being asked, both academic and moral. How can a person in the 20th century believe in miracles? Did Christ really rise from the dead? You mentioned premarital sex. It said, why is premarital sex wrong? Why is homosexuality wrong? I was told later on that not one high school person picked up that book because when they read the back about homosexuality, in their minds, I might as well have been somebody from the South who was saying that African Americans can't get on the same bus.
Yeah.
And this was about 7 years ago.
Right.
That's how bad it was 7 years ago. It's just insane.
Yeah, it is. And of course, when you read history, you see that that's how things work. Now, one of the most influential books in my life when I was a young man, really a teenager, I read a book called Animal Farm by George Orwell. I'm sure you're familiar.
Brilliant writer. I didn't read Animal Farm, but I read 1984, which was an excellent and chillingly accurate predictive book.
I read everything I could get my hands on by Orwell, H.G. Wells, Jules Verne, all of those guys.
The classic science fiction writers did a very good job of social commentary. And, of course, you mentioned Rod Serling earlier, who in The Twilight Zone, he brilliantly commented on where we were going as a society.
Yeah, and he would tell a story, and since it was fiction, he could talk about things that would have got censored.
That's right.
You know, and he was brilliant. Roddenberry was good at that, too.
Roddenberry did the exact same thing with Star. Yeah. He was able to talk about the Vietnam War on Star Trek when you really couldn't say it on a network TV at that. At least not until the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour came out and broke the ceiling with it.
Censored,
And then they got kicked off the air eventually.
Well, in Animal Farm, it's exactly what happens. The good guys become the bad guys slowly. And at the end, no one could tell the difference.
Okay, well, we'll try to discern the difference when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
Okay, Jim, what are you listening to right now? What movie is that from?
You know what? It must be a Western. Is it a Western?
Oh, yeah, it is. Westerns kind of glare out like Neil. Hang 'em High with Clint Eastwood.
Okay, there you go. I love that stuff. I love the music from The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, too. And not just the theme song. There's a tune from that soundtrack called The Ecstasy of Gold, which is one of my favorite instruments.
Oh. Yeah, I have that movie, but I don't recall that other piece of music. But definitely the theme to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was a wonderful theme.
Well, that's iconic, and another story I'll have to tell some other time. But now we're wrapping up here, aren't we? We're running out of time.
We're already in our last segment. It feels like we just started.
It happens every time. I have a friend here, another pastor in this city. He's a wonderful man. He pastors a very large church. It would be a church, I think, in spirit, very similar to Skyline. Great church and they just meet the needs of people on all different kinds of levels. Fantastic place. And I was at I've talked to him at times, prayed with him. He's a really good man. And we were at a pastor's meeting, citywide thing, and he was one of the speakers. And he got up and he said this, brutally honestly. He said, there are times when I'm in the pulpit on Sunday and there's something I feel like I'm supposed to say, and in my mind runs this thought: if you say that, you're going to offend that guy over there, and he's a big tither, and you've got bills to pay here. And he said, I'm confronted with the decision: am I going to be obedient to what I perceive as the leading of the Spirit of my life and say what I'm supposed to say, or am I going to give in to the threat of offending somebody? And you know what? When he said that, I thought, any pastor that says they haven't dealt with that temptation isn't being honest.
And you know what? When we're giving into the tithers, that makes the tithers the pastors.
Well,
when the pastors are supposed to be the pastors.
Yeah, yeah. But I think for my, place, my role, I am a pastor, so I have a responsibility to speak the truth as I can best discern it. I have to pray, study the scriptures, and I'm one of those old-fashioned guys, Bob. I still use the Bible as the authority for truth.
Jim, to say it's not true. The Bible is the authority of truth?
Yeah, I still believe
it. Oh, get out of town. There's so many uncompassionate verses in the Bible.
No, I'm pretty hardcore on that, and I've done my homework as you have, And when someone challenges that, I'll say, well, tell me what your problem is, and let's look at it. That's still, for me, the measuring stick. And so now there are things that I used to be able to say that would not rattle anybody. And now if I say it's going to ruffle some feathers.
Well, it's not only going to rustle the tithers' feathers, but it can rustle the government's feathers now and say, we're going to take away your tax exemption.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I've talked with there's a Christian law firm, and they deal specifically with religious liberty issues. And we've talked, and one of the things is I don't have a bookstore. I don't sell recordings of my messages. I don't sell coffee. I don't sell anything. Nothing is for sale. I don't have any employees because, as you know, it's a small church and it's all volunteers. So I don't have any salaries to pay.
So you know what that means, Jim? That means when persecution comes, you'll be among the last that they get to. But they'll get to you too, sooner or later.
They don't have anything to go after. There's nothing to take from me.
Yeah, who's going to be left? Well, no, but they want to shut down the free speech. That's what concerns me. And you were mentioning earlier about how when you were taking state funds to teach a class and then you realize that's why I think it's a good idea to not take state funds. When I used to do campus ministry, when you become a legitimate campus club, which our Christian groups did, the campus will start offering you money, and we never wanted to take it because we thought we start taking their money, we start taking their control.
Well, and actually, I was not paid by the state. I was trained and certified and everything.
Oh, but it was considered a state class.
But it was a state thing, and since I'm representing them, I was not representing the church. I was doing this kind of independently. I was amazed that they allowed a pastor to do this, really. And I spoke very openly about my faith, and I was, I got away with a lot of things there. But when it came to the thing of knowing these are things people are looking for. You know the cases about bakers that have been sued.
Bakers, photographers,
all of this. And I thought, as soon as that started becoming an issue, I'm dropping out because I can't in good conscience get up and say, you know, well, it doesn't matter. I can't do that. And the state is bound by all of the stuff they've created for themselves. And so I quit doing those classes because of that. But it wasn't money. It was just a matter of personal conscience. But that's where we're at. And pastors, preachers, and all the rest now. And I've watched some big-name guys on TV backpedal when they're asked hard questions. And they kind of flip-flop around and hem-haw and stutter and stammer. And they won't just come out and say what in their heart of hearts they probably know is the truth.
Yeah, and it's amazing how we shroud it with spirituality. Well, Jesus was about compassion. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Jesus was compassionate. When the woman was caught in adultery and they were going to stone her, he came in, he defended her, he rebuked the Pharisees, he rebuked the legalism. He was tender, he was loving, he was forgiven, he was merciful.
And
he still said, go and sin no more. And this idea that we can't be loving unless we condone a practice, that's just another lie that has been sold to our society.
Yeah, that's I saw one guy, if I told you his name, you'd know who he is, but I don't want you to get sued. Ladies and gentlemen, the opinions expressed on the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel's and Jim Barriers, yeah.
But if I said the guy's name, you'd know who he is, and I saw him in an interview, and the reporter asked him a straight-up question, and he answered with, well, it's not for me to judge.
Yeah, it's just, really? It's just amazing.
Really?
Well, and I talked to somebody, I'm not going to mention his name or mention the school district, but he was somebody working in the upper areas of a school district with this, you know, Obama may have given out his little speech about his Justice Department and the same-sex bathrooms just about a week ago, but that has already been the law in the state of California since the year 2013, that all public schools, high school, all the way down to kindergarten, have got to allow genderless bathrooms. It just hasn't been implemented yet. And this guy was trying to decide how, as a Christian, because he's in a position where he would have to actually be the one to go to the schools and tell them they have to implement it. And he said to me, I think I've worked it out in my mind. As long as they know I don't agree with it, I can implement it. Okay, so Jim, so we're talking about what's the hill to die for. Do you think at that point that should be a hill for him to die for, or do you think he should just say, well, I'll implement it, but I'll let them know that I don't personally agree with it?
I'll tell you where I, if I were in his shoes, I would say, I'm going to get another job.
I think you're right. Because there's a point where people just have to say no. And, you know, if enough people say no, even if it's coming from the courts, if enough people say no, the government resents it. One of the stories that you don't hear much about, with we were talking about Corrie ten Boom and the Holocaust, when the Nazis when the Nazis took over Denmark, little tiny country, they took them over easily. They put out what they normally did when they came into a new European country. They said all Jews have to wear the yellow Star of David the next day. King Christian, aptly named, his name was King Christian of Denmark, got on the radio, spoke to all Danes and said, we will not go along with this. I myself will wear the first Jewish star, and I'm going to ask every Dane to do the same thing. The next day, everywhere you look, everybody from Denmark was wearing the star. Yeah. You know what the Nazis did? They rescinded the order. That's what happens when enough people say no. And that's the problem. We're rolling over and playing dead. And sooner or later, we've just got to say, if they do this today, they're going to do that tomorrow.
And it started with leadership taking a stand.
Yeah, if the leaders are cowardly Kurds, why should we expect people in the in the congregation to stand up?
Yeah.
I almost said concentration, but that's where we're going to end up, concentration camps, if we don't stand up.
Well, and I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I don't like to be negative and a doomsdayer, but I've just watched in my lifetime, I've watched this fall so far that I have great concerns. Now, and I've said this before on the show, my hope is a genuine spiritual revival that will change the hearts of people from the inside out and then change our society.
That's my hope too, my friend. And I don't like being negative either. I'd like to forget all this stuff. I'm never happier than when I'm just writing my novels. But I'm hoping we have a society that remains free. By the way, congratulate me. I'm a grandparent.
And I didn't say that at the start.
I didn't think of it at the start. I've been saying it all over Facebook. His name is Vincent Samuel. He was born on the Thursday evening, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
But what made me think of it just now is I pray about the kind of society he's going to grow up in.
Yes.
All right, Jim, we'll have you on again soon.
Thanks, Bob.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.